Morning. Yes, you're here. It's just so good to hear everyone. I could just listen to everyone the whole time and be reminded that sometimes it's just the presence with one another is life-giving, sometimes as much as a resurrection, especially at how we carry ourselves. And so we're glad that you're able to be here. My voice is a little hoarse. Quick personal thing I was at my daughter's ringette championship. She plays for Team BC U16. So I was out in Ottawa where the Canadian National Ringette Championships were hosted. And so there was lots of cheering, but also myself, they asked a few of us to do some commentating. And so I got to commentate her 8 games plus another 3 or 4 games or so of some of the others. And it was a lot of fun. So you can check it out. It was streamed on CBC. So I'm now a CBC commentator. But really a Ringette BC YouTube person. That's really it. But we had lots of fun, and Sharon and Mael were trying to get here, and they mentioned I think they had a hiccup with their bags, so I came in on Friday, and they're zooming here. They might be coming in here pretty soon. My voice is hoarse, but it's not because I'm sick. It's just because I was talking lots this week and having a great time. Christ is risen. Yeah, you're wondering, is he going to preach that? What? No, let's try it again. Christ is risen.
Risen.
Yeah. Today, I want to add to it. Christ is risen, and I have seen the Lord. That phrase we're going to look at, we're going to look at an old familiar passage, because the season, the event of Easter, as well as the season of Easter, like Advent, like Christmas, like Lent, like Pentecost, like the Ascension, like all of the parts of the story of that the church is caught in the church calendar, we look at the same stories every year. The same stories that point to the grand story, the meta story of what? Of God's love for all of humanity, and the renewal and redemption of all things. So these stories pocketed throughout the seasons that we're able to, it is talking about the big story. So that's why sometimes we don't have to always, in Advent, we don't have to always rush to Easter, or we don't always have to rush to Pentecost. It allows us to think about the whole story. And so in the midst of that, we look at these stories yearly, and the same stories, and we look at them from different angles, and we highlight different verses. Even the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, they're showing different aspects of the stories as well. And some will have some stories, some won't have others, but especially the Easter story, some of it's the same, and some of it's just different aspects of the Easter story. And so this is what we're going to do, because the story is so filled with so much good news. Last year, we were at the MC, and we looked at the resurrection story from Matthew's record. And we've looked at Mark's record and Luke's version. We've looked at John's versions a lot, mainly because that's something I've been sitting in with for the last 15 years or so. And so we're going to come back to John's telling of the Easter story today, but hopefully from a little bit of a different angle. There's going to be some similarities there, but a little bit of a different angle. And one of the phrases I want you to be thinking about is what Mary said. I'm going to prep you. I have seen the Lord. And I've asked Sharon Rietsma to come and read the scripture for us. And I think you have your parents from Ontario here?
Yes.
How good is that?
Yeah, this is very special. sharing this day with my parents who have come out. And also special is that this Bible was one that my dad gave to me 25 years ago on Christmas Day. So an honor to be with you this morning and reading God's Word. I'm going to be reading from John 20, 1 through 18. So this is the Word of the Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was a gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go to him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sharon. Okay, so we're back in John here. This scripture, as you read it, there's some really interesting, actually some funny things in it as well. The author likes to let everyone know that he got there first. Peter, a bit of a loser, and that's okay. And in the midst of this, what in all of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how they first describe the Easter story is on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, the first day of the week. So this is the big emphasis here with John here and with all the others. And so John wants his readers to pay attention to those first words. These words are also then echoing some of the first words that he's ever written in John 1. So John is actually, and it was interesting, I don't know if you remember last year, Matthew used the words "fear not" at the end, at the resurrection, but he also used the words "fear not" at the beginning of the gospel. He used it 3 or 4 times to announce Jesus' birth. Then he uses it this a couple times. Well, at the end, which is really the beginning of Jesus' new life with the resurrection. Here, John is using this idea of in the beginning. So the readers would have been thinking about Genesis. It would have been thinking about, brought them back to the original story, creation story, where God creates beauty out of what? Out of chaos, out of darkness. He creates creation. And then he places humans in the garden and asks them to work alongside him. Asks them, in a sense, to tend to the garden, to the animals. And they make a big mess. But the first intention was, this is beautiful, this is wonderful, this is so very good, and now this is what you need to do. And then we know the story that the humans, Adam and Eve, in a sense, had this bit of a big mess up. And so then in the midst of that, John wants us to, as we're reading the story of the resurrection, John 20, he wants us to go back to look and to listen to John 1, which I'm going to read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, Jesus, he was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Think about that. Think about that right now in the midst of Mary going, experiencing Good Friday, which would have been Bad Friday for her with not understanding the resurrection, and the darkness and the chaos that she would have experienced. And John here, right, the light shines in the darkness. The darkness will not overcome it. And so John is stating again, he's pointing us to the new creation and to the one who is ultimately tending to this new creation, the one Jesus. Did you notice in the first John, those of us that have been tracking with us going through Colossians, did that sound familiar, John's passage? Where in Colossians 1, talking about he's the beginning, the head over everything. He's the image of the invisible God right here with us. And so Scripture is pointing about who is this Jesus? Who is God? Well, John is saying it in John 1. Later on, Paul and others, and the author of Hebrews, says, Jesus is the full manifestation of God in bodily form. This is it. If you want to see God, we look to Jesus. So let's just always keep that in our forefront when we're trying to understand and we look at the Scripture and we look at this, okay? Because I think it's going to, hopefully, we'll have a bit of an aha moment for us. And so here now, Jesus in John 20, it's a new day for a new creation. Something is new happening. Jesus has taken a Roman execution symbol and turned it into something beautiful. Not only for himself, but for all humanity. This is incredibly, a huge, incredible turn of events. So new creation here, speaking to this. And Jesus is now revealing how best to tend to this new creation. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that death did not hold, was resurrected. And what we're going to see is his first work, in a sense, as a resurrected king, as a resurrected Lord. They mocked him 3 days earlier, Jesus, King of the Jews. Little did they know that it was Jesus, King of the universe. And here, what's going to happen now, what we're going to see is that king, this person of Jesus, the fullness of God in bodily form in Jesus, who's resurrected, what does he do first? Interesting. So hold on to that. Jesus reveals how best to tend this new creation with love and care. Not with violence, not with retribution, not with power that controls, manipulates, not like anything that would look like Rome or the culture at the time or even the religious powers that be. Because what they did was put an innocent man to death on a cross. This new creation will look much different. It will be tended by a new king that will ultimately work more like a gardener than a warrior. N.T. Wright puts it this way. Here, Jesus is. The new Adam, the gardener, charged with bringing the chaos of God's creation into new order, into flower, into fruitfulness. He has come to uproot the thorns and thistles and replace them with blooms and harvests. What a beautiful quote. So Jesus, Scripture speaks about this, that he's the new Adam for this new creation. And what does he do first on his first day? Interesting. Let's just think about that. Does he come up like Rambo? Is he geared up with a shield and with some kind of a warrior? No. Starts his first work of the first day of the new creation. He asks the question. Let me just stop there for a second. Do we understand that? This is not a Marvel movie, right? Although we love Marvel movies, well, some of us may not. Growing up, we used to sing a hymn on Up From the Grave He Arose. Beautiful hymn, right? And I always had a different picture of who Jesus was. And it was this triumph over his foes. Yes, there is this triumph, right? But then I pictured him more like a Marvel comic person getting up in the rah and then taking care of business with him. And I realized the more I get old, the more, actually not older, but the more I dive into Scripture, the New Testament, and the more I understand who Jesus is, Jesus will surprise us all the time. All the time. So let's just think right now. Jesus has been resurrected. His first move is to be misunderstood as a gardener. Floppy hat, hoe. Maybe you can do some damage to the hoe, I don't know. Like, and then he asked the question. Not, where are the people? I want to get back at them. No, where are my enemies? Take me to the leader. Do we understand? This is the fullness of God in bodily form, resurrected. And he asked this question. Why are you crying? If that doesn't shock us, why are you crying? This is good news, friends. The resurrected King of the universe doesn't start off with shoulds and coulds. The resurrected King of the universe doesn't start off with overlording, controlling. doesn't start off with violence, doesn't start off with power, doesn't, his power looks fully like love. He starts off with a question of care and concern. Let's just sit with that. Because I wonder if some of us might be experiencing a little bit of maybe the chaos that Mary had experienced the last couple of days. So I'll just ask the question right now. Does life seem dark for you right now? Does it feel chaotic? Does it seem hopeless? Does it seem like the thorns and the thistles of life are choking you out? Or maybe not you, but those around you? The resurrected Lord might be asking you the same question that he asked Mary on the first day of new creation. As he tends this new garden and tends our souls, he might say, "Why are you crying? What are you troubled with?" It challenges our understanding of how a supreme being might work in the world. Might we hear those same words for ourselves? What's troubling you? As we remember that Jesus is the fullness of God in bodily form. I want to pause to ask this question here. Why might Mary, what was troubling Mary? Why was she crying? You're like, Kevin, like, it's obvious. Well, it is, but let's look. A few days earlier, her friend was beaten, mocked, hoisted up on a cross. The ridicule for everyone to see, which that cross is a Roman symbol of power, violence, death, and control. Jesus was her friend, her Lord, her teacher, her rabbi, one she spent years with. She'd come that morning to pay her respects to Jesus, and she'd come to care for the body of Jesus. And so with all that whirling around in her head and her heart, now the body's gone. And I wonder if that just seemed like a bit of a pile-on. And I'm just wondering now, with all of the emotion, maybe she was holding, maybe like, but then all of a sudden, so I want to think about her crying for a moment. I wonder if it might have been an ugly cry. Because it was everything there, and then the body's gone? What? And then finally, everything was there, and here she is. And then she's surprised by the one who is resurrected. The one, the Lord, who is the one who stoops to ask us why we are crying, and the one who does not allow death and darkness and violence and chaos and control and manipulation and fear and anger have the last word. She has seen the one who asked the question, "Why are you crying?" Wow. Side note, many of you know this, but women weren't viewed as trustworthy witnesses during that time. And Jesus chooses Mary to be the first one to see her. We're going to talk in the next couple of weeks, and not just about Mary or this personal, but there's other stuff that's happening with Jesus that is really, that kind of put him on the cross. The way that he's upsetting the culture, upsetting the way things were done, upsetting. There's a whole bunch of stuff that he's doing. But for now, we're going to pay attention here. But one of the reasons what happened here, he picks a woman who is not a trustworthy witness. That's not going to go well. And And it was later on, some of the other Gospels talk about the women. And it wasn't just Mary, it might have been the women. And there's other. And so there was. Jesus is trying to also change the way of how we live in the world by allowing Mary to be the first one to see him and yet to be the first one to announce to a group of men, I have seen the Lord. Guess what? Peter and John ran out of there as fast as they got there. They missed out. Maybe because they were competing against one another. Mary was a bit more of the reflective one and waiting and longing. And here Jesus, just put that and hold that with all that's going on in the world. Try to see this, that Jesus is not trying to erase the testimony of women. He's trying to amplify it, actually. And in that culture, and in some of our cultures, what is troubling you? She has seen the one who is not dead but is alive. She has seen the one who chooses to be seen as a gardener, not a warrior. She has seen the one who tends to creation with care. She has seen the one who's going to rule and reign differently than she could even understand, and that the world will understand and try to understand it all. And we're still trying to figure it out. And we know that many of us are getting it terribly wrong all the time. And so as we point and we look to Jesus, we see this Jesus who's doing his first work with creation with care and concern. Would you know that today? Would you leave here knowing that you have a God that actually cares and concerns and is concerned in the midst of it? We still have all kinds of questions, and but I wonder if, I would love to be able to say, and I hope I can say, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. And when someone says, I have seen the Lord, get them to describe what the Lord looks like to them. And allow them to explain it and see it. And would it look like Jesus? We usually read these stories here. Sometimes, like it's the end of something. Like, resurrection, okay, now. No, it's actually the start of something. The way they tell the story, all the Gospels, there's the dot, dot, dot. There's so much to be learned. There's so many stories to hear, so many questions to ask during the Easter season. And so there's going to be more surprises for Mary, and there's going to be more surprises for the disciples, and there's going to be more surprises for us all the time. If we're choosing to want to look for Jesus. So, one of the big surprises that Jesus is here, that he's called Mary to be the one to go and tell the disciples. And he tells the disciples, and then later on in John, just shortly after, this is a really interesting thing. I want to just add this to it, because we're going to talk about this in the next few weeks, and then we're going to come back to Colossians later. I believe there's slides of the few verses after. Tracy? Yeah. So Sharon had read verses 1 to 18. This is verses now 19 and on. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." So Mary has received it, word, come back and said, "I've seen the Lord." And they're like, okay, like, where is he? Well, I don't know now. And then they're waiting in the upper room, they're waiting, and then Jesus walks through a wall and he sits with them, and this is now this. So Jesus is there. Again, now this is the second moment of work that Jesus is doing as a resurrected Lord. He comes in amongst them to a scared and frightened group, and he says what? Peace to you. And I love the way, John, he breathes on them. Peace to you. And then, after he said this, he showed them his hands, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace to you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So now he's commissioning them to go and live a life that he is now resurrected, live a life that looks more and more like Jesus. Now, he doesn't go and say, fight your enemies, destroy your enemies. He doesn't. What does he say? He says the hardest words ever. After they receive the Holy Spirit, what are they to do? If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven. We're not going to get into that right now. But I'm just saying, okay, this is the work of the world. To live peaceable lives, to work for peace, and to try to forgive people as much as possible. This is the Easter story, friends. The Easter story, the resurrection, will always point back to the cross of who Jesus is. Always, 100%. The resurrected Lord always looks fully like the Lord who before was died. Nothing changes. It's Jesus. And Jesus says, I'm going to care for you in the midst of your fear. I'm going to say peace to you. I'm going to ask you, why are you crying? And as you work through that, oh, Jesus said, I would love for you to work through what it would look like to forgive. Because that's the hard work in the world. Ready to be resurrected people? We can do this. Because Jesus has done it. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's just maybe sit and allow God to ask the question, what's troubling you? What's troubling you? And as we name it, we name our fears, maybe, just maybe, Jesus might blow and speak peace to us so that we might live resurrected lives by looking more and more like Jesus in the days and weeks to come. Let's pray. God, thank you for Easter. Thank you for the good news. Thank you for the good news of who you look like, fully resurrected, one that comes and stoops down, maybe on one knee as we are crying, as we are finding ourselves in the midst of chaos and hardship. With care and concern, you ask the question, why are we crying? Lord, would you help us to be ambassadors of the same resurrected life for others? Would we also be people that would receive the peace that you give to us in the midst of this world that is totally frantic and chaotic? Knowing full well that you're resurrected, the same spirit that is in you that resurrected Jesus is in us, and that we could live this out, not faithfully, or not perfectly, but faithfully. Would you meet us where we're at? Where everyone is at this time, I pray that, God, you would meet each person where they're at. And that by your Holy Spirit, you would speak words of care and concern, but you would also commission us as people of peace in the world where it's really hard to find. We look forward to partnering with you to tend this good creation. Encourage us.